Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lauren Linton, host of Quick Take Ohio, a pre-recorded podcast highlighting Ohio's juvenile justice news. This week, the Children's Law Center launched a campaign to stop placing kids in solitary confinement and calling for regulation and monitoring of its use in adult and juvenile correctional facilities, detention centers, and residential treatment facilities. The U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has said solitary confinement can be dangerous and a serious impediment to the ability of juveniles to succeed once released. Solitary confinement, also commonly called seclusion, isolation, or room confinement, has been identified as cruel, inhumane, and degrading. It has been reported that youth as young as 10 may be kept in cells no larger than a bathroom without windows for hours, days, and even years. Youth in solitary confinement are often denied meaningful programming, education, and recreation, contributing to poor outcomes and recidivism. Kids can be confined to their room for punishment, for their own protection, or for behavioral health reasons. Regardless of the age of the child, the reason it's used, or the amount of time spent in solitary, youth can experience trauma, hallucinations, and suicidal thoughts. There's a growing national advocacy movement to address the over-reliance and misuse of isolation. Joining us is Amy Fedick, who is a senior staff counsel for the ACLU's National Prison Project and the director of the ACLU's Stop Solitary campaign, seeking to end the practice of extreme isolation in our nation's prisons, jails, and juvenile detention centers. Amy is a national expert on prisoner rights law. She provides technical legal assistance and strategic counsel to advocacy groups and lawyers around the country and has served as an adjunct professor of law at Georgetown University. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we discuss solitary confinement, I always like to find out what inspired someone's passion. So what led you to this work?
Well, you know, actually, I started out working in international human rights in China. And I sort of had a domestic epiphany when I was in graduate school because I was at Columbia University, which is right in northern Manhattan and close to Harlem, and I realized I had never actually even visited Harlem. It was two blocks away, and I had never been there. And so after I graduated, I took a job working with women prisoners, ex-prisoners, and their children in New York City. And that led me for the first time into prisons and jails. And once I went in there and saw the human rights abuses, I knew that I could never look away again, especially because I was working with women and children, and I saw the cycle that was happening with children of women who were prisoners, then going into prison themselves. And so I decided, you know, human rights begin at home, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gave a brief background on solitary confinement. Anything you want to add?
Well, I want to point out for everybody that solitary confinement is a pervasive and routine practice in this country. It happens in our prisons, in our jails, and yes, in our juvenile detention centers. It is used, overused, and abused in virtually every facility in this country, with very few exceptions, with too few exceptions. And children are routinely subject to this practice. About 70,000 kids on any given day could be held in a lockdown status. That's a lot of children. And think about it. If you put your child in a bathroom and lock them there for hours or even days at a time, you'd be accused of child abuse. But our government is doing it to our children every single day in this country.
Well, one thing that really helped illuminate the problem was the report from the ACLU and the Human Rights Watch called Alone and Afraid, Children Held in Solitary Confinement and Isolation in Juvenile Detention Correctional Facilities. It's a really long title, but I think we refer to it as Alone and Afraid. Why has the ACLU decided to focus on this issue?
Well, you know, we work nationally, so we're in many states and in many facilities. And when you go into these facilities and you see children locked down for hours at a time, and you see what that does to them, you have to take action. And we realize that although we knew about it, most people don't. It is a huge secret in this country that this is happening in our own backyards. So we decided that we needed to reach out to let the public know what was being done, essentially in our name, and that there are better solutions and better options for our children, and they indeed do deserve better. So we have focused a lot of our resources around stopping the use of solitary confinement on children in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And as you were saying, I mean, just the mere fact that they're children, they're still developing, the impact of this type of treatment is far greater than adults. It's awful for adults, but for children, it's really detrimental. And I know in writing this report, the ACLU interviewed 125 young people who spent some time in solitary confinement while under the age of 18. What are some of the main findings of this report? And maybe share some of those stories that mm-hmm. you still carry with you.
Yes, they are hard to forget. And I think it's important to remember that there has been research around the impact of solitary confinement on adults for decades now, and the findings are bad. They demonstrate that the use of solitary confinement on human beings impacts the way our brain function. It leads to depression. It leads to rage. It leads to sleeplessness. It leads to health problems. And in fact, it leads to solitary confinement and self-mutilation on a routine basis. When I go into a men's facility where there's solitary confinement, I always find men who regularly cut and mutilate themselves. It's a well-known phenomenon in adult facilities. So you have to then ask yourself, well, what happens to children who are more vulnerable, who are less developed under these very similar circumstances? And the findings are terrible. What we found when we talked to children was that they experienced some of the same problems, routine self-mutilation, hopelessness, depression. Indeed, the national figures bear that out. We know, for example, that 50% of children who commit suicide in juvenile facilities do it when they're in these isolation rooms. We also know that 60% of all suicides of kids in these facilities are by children who've been subjected to isolation. Bad things happen to kids. We also know that, unfortunately, what the brain science is telling us, neuroscience has shown, is that children's brains aren't developed. So by putting them in isolation at this critical point in time, usually adolescence, when they are unformed and undeveloped and highly vulnerable, we are potentially subjecting them to lifelong disabilities. They may never recover from being placed in solitary confinement, even if they make it out alive, and too many don't. So when we talked to children, we found that they were hurting themselves, that they were hopeless, that they were not getting any education. And that's one thing we really want to emphasize. Children need rehabilitation. We have an opportunity, even when a child is in crisis in the juvenile justice system or in the adult system, to help them, to give them tools to experience rehabilitation so they can leave these facilities and become productive members of society. That is our responsibility. When we place a child in solitary confinement, we deny them all of these options. We don't give them education. We don't give them access to programming. All we do is make them suffer. The results are terrible. We need to invest in better strategies to help kids to deal with them as children, not treat them as miniature adults, and then subject them to practices that are going to harm them.
And I think when we talk about this issue, people are also surprised. They think that this is being done in punishment, but often these facilities are doing it saying that they're actually trying to protect these youth, even though there's these terrible things that occur as a result of that. So,
absolutely. That is just far too common. Children, especially in adult facilities, but also in juvenile facilities, often subject to solitary confinement because the facility thinks that they are vulnerable. So you find children who have mental illness, children who are perceived as or LGBT kids, children who are small, all being put in solitary confinement in order to so-called protect them. Especially in adult facilities where we know kids are more frequently sexually abused and raped, quite frankly, in adult facilities, they will often be put in solitary confinement to protect them from the adults. That is no way to run a facility, and you're basically harming vulnerable people in the name of helping them. But even when solitary confinement is used as a disciplinary measure, and it is in far too many facilities, this is a very common practice in juvenile facilities to put kids in solitary for breaking a rule. What we found when we talked to kids for our report is that oftentimes they were put, not because they were a danger to themselves or others, but because they had broken silly rules like refusing to make their bed. Or one child was flushing his toilet several times and watching his earwax float down the toilet. Now, and it may be dumb kid behavior, but you shouldn't put somebody in solitary confinement because of that. Unfortunately, because it's such a routine measure in these facilities, you have adults who aren't even really thinking about what they're doing to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it. Nobody knows about it. They don't have to report it. And so this practice goes on and damages children in the process.
Well, and you talked about, you mentioned better strategies, and we have about only 4 minutes left, so I really kind of want to turn to that because, New York recently made the news with their decision to prohibit isolating teens in adult jails. And so I want to hear what is happening around the United States.
I think there's been a national awakening to this practice. We need to do more, but quite frankly, in a lot of states and jurisdictions, like Ohio, people are starting to take notice and saying, we need better for our children. So we're seeing states introduce bills that ban the practice of solitary confinement everywhere from New York to New Mexico to California to Montana. We have state legislators who are saying, no more. We need to legislate against this. And in fact, I think we do. We need laws on the books that say, no solitary confinement of children ever, ever, ever. And we need there to be accountability and reporting anytime isolation is used on children. It simply doesn't exist now. But that is in the works. So we're seeing states take action. We are also seeing the federal government, as you mentioned, the Attorney General spoke out against the practice of solitary confinement and recognized how damaging it is. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatrists, the top doctors in the field, have said no solitary confinement. They have a standard that calls on everyone to eliminate the practice of solitary confinement of children in the juvenile justice system and children, writ large. We have lots of international human rights law that recognizes that this is a terrible practice to our children, that it's a human rights violation, that it shouldn't happen. So there's a growing awareness that actually we've got a problem, but there's also a growing awareness that we can solve it and that there are better alternatives. So I know that the Children's Law Center has mentioned the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative Standards, popularly known as JDAI, and those are great standards, the best practice standards in this country, and what they say is no disciplinary segregation or solitary confinement of children. Every jurisdiction needs to adopt that. And use alternatives. We know that there are better measures to deal with kids, engaging them, dealing with their behavior, training staff to handle teenagers in an effective way. We know it's tough, but it is your job. There are better ways to handle children, and we're seeing a national movement against using solitary on kids. I think Ohio is very much leading that. The Children's Law Center, the state is so lucky to have you, bringing this campaign into the world and calling on Ohio to outlaw the use of solitary confinement on your children. I think that's fantastic. I know the state system is moving in that direction. Every state needs to follow suit. We can do better by our kids, and we must.
Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been great talking to you.
And for our listeners who want to know more about the campaign, you can go to childrenslawky.org and look for the Stop Solitary Confinement information. And if you would like to know more about what the ACLU is doing, go to aclu.org and look for information under Prisoners' Rights. So thank you again, Amy, for appearing on Quick Take Ohio, and thanks to all our listeners. Goodbye.
Goodbye.